I know you come to hear a typical Christmas message. Well, what I feel like God spoke to my heart is partly typical, but perhaps a little bit out of the box as well. So I want to relate to you to something today that perhaps every one of us is guilty of. We get so busy, we get so tied up that we fail to hear what God is saying. I simply want to title my message today, The Call. The Call. C-A-L-L. The Call. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. I want to take verses 6 through 11 for my text. I want to kind of set the scene and the stage. I think I'll go ahead and read my text first. So, would you mind standing one more time as we read the Word of God in reverence to the Lord? Verse number 6, chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, begin at verse 6. And so it was, while they were there, days were accomplished that she should be delivered. We all know that's Mary having baby Jesus. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Every one of us in the back of our mind, we can hear the little Christmas play with the kids, see Jesus in the manger, Mary dressed up, and Joseph with the sheep in the background. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Aren't you glad you was included? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Heavenly Father, let this word, O God, go forth to uplift your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to focus on verse number 9 for just a moment. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. The angel of the Lord. You have to understand, and I may repeat myself a little bit, these shepherds was out in the field outside of Bethlehem somewhere, and they was taking care of their sheep, minding their own business. Perhaps they was making s'mores around the fire pit there. Okay? And all of a sudden, they had a visitor. So I want to ask you a question. How many times have we had a knock on our door or our doorbell ring and we ignored it? You hid behind the couch. You peeked out the curtain just to see that it was your neighbor bringing you that dreaded fruitcake again. So you played as if nobody was home. Here's one. How many of us have had our phones to ring and we put it on silent real quickly? You ignored the call. I wish I had a camera going that direction because you can see real quickly the guilty ones when I said that. We ignore the call. Sometimes we see who it is and we ignore it, and sometimes we don't care, we just ignore it. So I ask you a question this morning, what if the shepherds ignored the visitor they had? Would they have missed their blessing? Would they have missed the experience? Are we sensitive enough that when the angel of the Lord comes to visit us, and I don't know, perhaps you've seen a visible angel, but God does send angels. There's times that we entertain them unaware. There's times that He visits us with a nudge. And there's times that He audibly speaks to us. And there's times He speaks to us when we don't want to hear what He has to say. And with that, we miss the visitation that has come our way. I don't understand all the things that God, in the way He comes to us and speaks to our heart, but I do want to be sensitive to His Spirit and to His presence. When the angel of the Lord come upon the shepherds out of the field, it was a suddenly. Suddenly something happened, and suddenly something changed, and suddenly the Spirit of God moved on them, and they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. And as they give the exhortation and they give the greetings and the salutation of a baby that was born in Bethlehem, it was something beyond imagination. And even though that greeting there out in the field to the shepherds by the angel that come from heaven, I believe with all my heart that the way God experiences it gives us His presence, and we experience His presence today, is even far beyond what the shepherds experience. But yet so many times we are so busy and we are so preoccupied, and there's so much noise in the world today that we fail to stop and listen to the voice of God. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which is the Lord hath made known unto us." And reiterating some of these very things and kind of maybe putting it in a little bit of narrative and story form, I just want to share with you. One must understand that this news came from an uninvited guest. It was this guest, or more likely, several guests, brought the news, a salutation of a miracle birth that would deliver a king, a savior, that you and I have been made a part of. Yes. It was a personal. Get that? God will send a personal visitor your way. It was a heavenly being that engaged with the shepherds, that engaged. Aren't you glad we serve a God that the heavens is His throne, the earth is His footstool, but He chooses to engage with His creation? Oh man, that ought to cause some of you to shout. He engages with His creation. Mighty is the Lord God that we serve. It was personal. It was a heavenly being engaging with the shepherds out in the field, minding their own business, taking care of their sheep, and they encountered a visitation of an event that would change the world. That would change the world. Do you know why we're meeting here today? It's because of a baby that was born over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. And this baby has changed the world. And now He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in making intercession, hearing our cries, our hurts, our desires, our burdens. He hears, He understands, and He engages with you. Look at your neighbor and say, "He'll engage with you. He'll engage with you." And we understand that the process of all of this, these shepherds didn't take long when the angels disappeared and went back to heaven. It didn't take long for them to pack their bags and head into town. You ever heard that little saying, "Meanwhile back at the ranch"? Well, out in the shepherd's field, meanwhile back in town, Caesar Augustus had decreed a tax. Joseph and Mary journeyed to Bethlehem. It was necessary because he was from the lineage of David, and that's where he had to go assess because of that tax decree. With his pregnant wife, carrying the Holy Child, conceived by the Holy Ghost, and don't let nobody tell you no different. Her time of deliverance was near. And their journey was necessary. Anybody else that close would have stayed home, but Mary went with her husband to Bethlehem. When that time came, they took shelter in the barn. Days in, Hampton Inn, Motel 6, Tom Baudet was full up. There was no room, so they took shelter in a barn. making a manger into a bassinet. She wrapped him in rags to keep him warm, and no doubt moved things around, spread out some clean hay to make sure she could get extra close to the baby. Did you get that? Yes. While we're busy with everything else, you go through Walmart, 5 seconds will drive you crazy. We need to make sure we get things pushed aside, clean things up, and get extra close to the baby. Mm. Hey, I don't know if you realize it or not, but I'm preaching to you this morning. We need to get extra close to him. Man, all the confusion that we're seeing from D.C. to China and every other place in the world, there is no better time right now than we need to get close to him. There's a lot of stuff in the barn that needs to be cleared out. Mm. We need to make sure there's no stinky stuff around our stall and around the manger, and we need to get close to him. We need to get close to him. Close to the Savior. At the same time, outside of town, the shepherds had had an extraterrestrial encounter. I have waited all week to say that. Extraterrestrial. That just means an encounter with something out of this world. Now, don't tell me they didn't have an extraterrestrial. I may not even be saying it right, but that excites me to know that they had an extraterrestrial experience. I'm here to tell you, church, it ain't no alien we need to have an experience with. It's an angel from heaven, but it'll be an experience you'll never forget. He's got a message for you, and his main message is to get close to the Savior. Get close to the Savior. Oh, my, my, my. It was an extraterrestrial encounter that took place. And I pray today that in this Christmas season, like never before, that we will get to a place that will have an extraterrestrial experience with a heavenly being that will touch your heart and cause you to be like Jacob and never walk the same again. Oh. A lot of action made its presence out in the field that day. Just moments ago, it was dark and quiet, but now the angels brought the news and God's glory shone up and illuminated the area before it was completed. The whole multitude of angels exuberantly worshiped and praised God. I think they felt kind of what we felt this morning. And I think we feel even more so because the Holy Ghost is with us. The angels desire to look into what you and I experience and have the opportunity to look into. And here we sit in 2020, December the 20th, and we have had an extraterrestrial experience with a heavenly being. And we've experienced the power of the Holy Ghost and the sweetness of His presence. You know why? That's all because of a baby that was born years ago. My, 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 what a thought. They worshiped and they praised God and they sung glory and honor and praises unto Him. And what a glorious news flash that has just come to pass. Over the hill in the little town of Bethlehem, it was all happening. As quickly as they appeared, the angels were gone back to heaven, and it didn't take long for the shepherds again to pack up their little backpacks and take in to see the new baby and welcome him into the world. Again, the shepherds had a personal encounter. The Bible says in verse 16 of the second chapter there of Luke, and they came in haste and found Mary. They was excited. The Bible says they came in haste. They was excited to see this baby called Jesus. baby lying in a manger, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that had heard it wondered at those things which were told by them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We talked about that, Brother Chris did, Wednesday night in our Wednesday night class, of how that she pondered all of those things in her heart. Wonder what all she went over. Wonder what she was trying to grasp. That this was a baby conceived of the Holy Ghost that had a higher purpose than anything she could ever imagine. She pondered those things, and the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They was excited about the circumstances of the birth of a baby. They had a personal visitation from an angelic being and beings. But God don't always speak in personal ways, but He gives us signs. And you'll find in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in there at the first verse of that chapter, we're going to see how that God moved in another way to bring the news and the salutation of the birth of Jesus Christ. And if you look at that and you study that, when the star appeared in the sky to the wise men, we don't know, there was a possibility that the baby may have just been born and he may have been up to 2 years old. Anyway, Herod and all of his mean ideology wasn't going to let a king root him out. But I know and understand and see a lot of people that are continually looking for signs. Anybody with me? Anybody been looking for a sign lately? You heard about the guy that was standing on the street corner and was asking God for a sign? Big wind come over and blew the sign over on top of him. I said, that's a sign. The rest of you get that after all. Okay. But God does move in signs and wonders. He speaks of that in His Word. But I don't want to bring some things out. Sometimes it's a visible sign like a star. Sometimes it's just a nudge. You ever been going down the road and you just felt a nudge that you were supposed to go this way and not that way? That's learning to hear the voice of God. And don't begrudge that nudge. Don't begrudge that voice. It may take you to where you spend another gallon of gas, but you just let God know that you're willing to listen to His nudge. Hello? I want to assure you, don't ignore it like we do our cell phones sometimes and our doorbell. I'm not talking about making everything that we see become a revelation or, wow, look at this. I'm talking about being sensitive to the Spirit of God. Now, if you go back and you look and you study the history of these three wise men, and verse number 1 says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there was wise men that come from east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is that that is born, King of the Jews? Well, we have seen his star in the east, and we come to worship him. How did they know that it was the star was his star? And if you look into the history of these three wise men, and I could go into some of the Greek and stuff, but I don't know that well. I don't want to embarrass myself. But these guys was very intelligent and very, very smart. And some commentary says there's a possibility that they was into astrology. Not astronomy. Sorry. I knew I'd get it messed up anyway. Not astrology, where they, the zodiac and all that stuff. That's of the devil. But astronomy. Maybe they was mapping out the stars. And maybe they was trying to find a new galaxy. And I don't know. Maybe they got a new telescope for Christmas. And they was checking it out. But there was something special about that star. Something special about the star. And again, I just want you to be aware that sometimes God will send you a visitor and sometimes He'll send you a star. Sometimes He'll give you a nudge. But regardless of which way it is, He's giving you a call. Please answer your phone. That would be hilarious if somebody's phone went off right then. He's giving you a call. Whether it's personal or whether it's by a sign, He's given you a call. The wise men said, "We have seen His star in the east, and we have come to worship Him." And when Herod had, the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Why in the world? I know why Herod would be troubled, but why in the world would the rest of Jerusalem be troubled? There was a king coming. There was a king that was already here. And when they had gathered all the chief priests, the scribes, and the people together, he demanded them where Christ was born. And he said unto them, "In Bethlehem of Judea. And thus it is written by the prophets, 'But thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" There was a salutation that was given because of a sign in the sky. I want you to understand that the Bible clearly claims that in the last days there will be signs in the heaven and the earth. Somebody once said we need to quit looking for the signs and start listening for the sounds. But I believe with all of my heart in this hour that we're living in, wouldn't this be a great time for Jesus to come? I said, wouldn't this be a great time for Jesus to come? The Bible says, in an hour when you think not. And there's a lot of people that has their mind on everything but the coming of the Lord. I don't want to miss the sign or the sound. And Herod, when he was probably called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, "What time did your star appear?" And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search out diligently the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again so I can go worship him." There was a nudge by the Spirit telling the wise men, "Don't come back here." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star. Isn't it amazing that God does not lead you astray? That after they had seen the star, they come from the east. They had come into Bethlehem. They talked to Herod. Visit with him. And when they went outside, the star appeared again. There's a sign. We've had a sign this morning. The presence of God was in this place. So, well, I didn't see it. But where I was standing, I looked across the congregation, and it was all over several faces. There was a sign. The Spirit of the Lord was in this place. Hey, church, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And lo, the star that they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young child where he was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Church, I want you to know we've got a lot to be thankful for. We've got a lot to be excited about. If this world totally falls apart and the electricity goes off tomorrow and you can't use your cell phones no more, we've got a hope out of this world. His name is Jesus. Just because everything shuts down that you're normally used to does not mean God goes on vacation. He steps on the scene. The signs are everywhere. Everything I said to you is a total possibility before the Lord comes. So therefore, I want to encourage your hearts and to let you know, do not be succumbed to the circumstances of this world or what is going on, but look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Did you hear me, church? Did you hear me, church? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I said, just because the things that you're used to get you through the day, if it all falls apart, you go out and start your car and there ain't no, it won't start. Can I tell you that God's still on the throne? He's still on the throne. Do not be overcome by the circumstances of this life, but keep your faith in Jesus. Please, 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 please. Don't get all flustered or bent out of shape. It's easy to do that. We're human. And we have been used to the conveniences of this world ever so long. But I just want you to know today that if it all breaks down, Jesus is still in control. Amen. He's still in control. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, and they fell down and they worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The conception is that there was three wise men. The Bible really doesn't say how many there was. There could have been more than three. We just tally three because of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there could have been 12 of them had a bottle of each. Just so you'll know. Okay? The first engagement of this story is the shepherds with a heavenly visitation, while the news to the wise men came in form of a sign. I'm just recapping. Okay? Will you let me recap? Two or three, four amens, that's good enough for me. The first engagement of the story that I'm telling you about is the shepherds had a visitor while the news to the wise men came in the form of a sign. Understand that these both are calls. And God is still calling today. Number one, He's calling you to worship Him. Our songs that we sung this morning, He's worthy to be praised, to worship Him. If you're having a bad day, just start worshiping the Lord. If everything seems to be going south, just start worshiping the Lord. If things in your life seem to be crazy, turn the TV off and put some gospel music on and let God speak to your heart through the music. Don't feed yourself with worldly junk, especially when things are chaotic in your life. Glean from the things of God. Hear the voice of an angel. See the signs of the heavens. It is a call, and God's calling you to a relationship with Him like you've never known before. It is a call. The wise men could have been considered astronomers, seeking and mapping out the solar system. I told you I'd repeat myself a little bit. Whatever is considered that they were rich and they were very wise. I can tell you that the star they saw that night and the night following was like no other star they'd ever seen before. Hello? Something unusual. Don't neglect the unusual. Let God speak to your heart. One of my most favorite things to do, and it doesn't matter if it's how cold it is or how hot it is, especially on a clear night, I like to go sit on my back porch and just watch the stars. And talk to the man that's above them. That alone time with him, Brother Aaron, lets me have a visitor that I wouldn't expect it. And a sign that I hadn't seen before. You think I'm crazy? Just go ahead and think that. That's all right. But I know my experiences on my back porch. It is a unique experience when you get alone with God. It was a star like you'd never seen before. Exactly how they made the connection of the child's birth with the star, that it perhaps still remains a mystery, though the status of their wit could bring us to a conclusion that they knew the prophetic words of the birth of a king, and an unusual star brought them to the conclusion of a king that was born. They left where they were to seek a king. Inquiring from Herod whereabouts this king was and brought about the commotion of both Herod and Jerusalem. You know the story of how deceitful Herod was.
But when the wise men, when they left Herod, the star appeared again to them, and they led them to where Jesus was and stood over the house. Going into the house, being honored and worshiping the child, they opened their gifts and presented them in honor and adoration to him. So concluding this message, my whole point is, church, we can't miss the call. The Word tells us that I will pour out my Spirit in the last days upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. He's speaking to hearts and lives in this last hour. Don't miss your call. Don't miss your call. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And give yourself to him just as much as the wise men give their gold and frankincense and myrrh. Give him your all that you have to offer. In Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Repeating what the prophet Joel had mentioned, "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men will see. Young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams." You know what that's all about? The old men's too old to do anything anymore, and all they can do is dream, to give the young men their vision so they can get it accomplished. That make sense? If you don't believe me, just ask me, I'll tell you. "And all my servants and all my handmaidens," God is no respecter of persons. If you make yourself available, he'll give you a sign and he'll give you a visitor. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. "And in those last days I'll pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show signs of wonder in heavens above, and signs in earth beneath, blood of fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." God's got an appointed time to meet you where you're at. Whether it's out in the field taking care of the sheep or wandering around looking at the stars, he's got a sign for you and a visitor for you. Chris, go ahead and come to the piano, please. I just want to reiterate to you a couple more scriptures. In Matthew chapter 24, it says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven." And notice the signs and the visitations. You cannot miss the call. I don't know if you realize it or not, how close we are to the rapture of the church. I don't know if you realize how close we are to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I don't want you to miss the call. I don't want you to miss it. "And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and one end of the heavens to the other. Then learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branches is young and tender and put forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that the end is near, even at the door." He's just telling you that when the fruit trees, fig trees, apple trees, pear trees, when you see them bloom in the springtime, you know that they're getting ready to bring forth a harvest. It's coming near for the fruit to bear. Hello? And he's explaining to us to wake up, see the signs. When you see these things begin to come to pass, and he records them in his word, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Don't miss your call. He sends signs. He sends visitors. Genesis chapter 9, verse 13. "I have set my rainbow in the cloud, and it will be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth." Make it real clear. The rainbow's got is God's sign, not anybody else's. The devil always tries to take what God establishes first and make something out of it that's his. God claimed the rainbow. It's his. Luke 21:25-28, and I'm closing. And there was a, and there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the seas, sea, and the waves roar. Men's hearts shall fail them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of heaven will be shaken. This is what I'm talking about, church. Don't be destroyed by the things that you see. Engage in those things that you know, and let them be your roadmap. Let them be your guide. Then shall you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Don't miss your call. Would you stand with me all over the building today? A long time ago, we used to sing a song, so there's a call come ringing from the gates of heaven. There's a call. I want to hear that call. Brother Carol, I don't want to miss my call. I don't want to miss that trumpet sound. I don't want to be engaged in everything else in this world and miss it. I don't want to miss it. Church, I don't want you to miss it. When that roll is called up yonder, I want you to be there. I want you to be there. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will speak to the hearts and minds of words that I could not say or don't know how to say. I pray, oh God, that your Spirit, Lord, will churn within inside of us. Oh God, let us expect the heavenly visitor. And oh God, help us, oh Lord, to keep our eyes tuned towards you that we might not miss the sign. Be with your people today, oh God, and let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct us. Is there one here today, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior? You've struggled, and you've tried your best to work out your situation and problems on your own, and you realize you can't. You realize that Jesus is the only one. If you're not sure your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can be sure this morning. You can be very sure. So I ask you right now, while we'll wait for just a moment, is there one under the sound of my voice you would like to make your election, your calling sure, knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is there one? Sit by your seat. Come to this altar and let Jesus be Jesus to you.